What up, what up, what up? It's AWOD here on DC Sports Radio 106.7 The Fan, simulcast on the Team 980 in Richmond, 910 AM, 105.1 FM, just after 11 AM, which means it's time for the Power Hour of AWOD Radio. If you want to chime in, phone lines are open, 1-800-636-1067, 1-800-636-1067. What does Jaden Daniels need to do to have a bounce back season? 1-800-636-1067. You're seeing season predictions listed online. NFL Network had all of their hosts and writers get together. I know Grant and Danny went through this and had Nick Shook on the air. Colleen Wolf 7-10, Lance Zierlein 7-10, Grant Gordon 7-10, Dan Parr 6-11, Brooke Casimero 9-8, Bucky Brooks 7-10, Nick Shook 4-13, and I thought Grant and Danny did a great job pushing back on some of his points that he made. He basically pointed to everything that went wrong last year happening again, and I don't see how that can happen with the improvements we've made on the defensive side of the ball, with the improvements we made on the offensive side of the ball, the offensive line having another year to gel and play together. If Marcus Mariota started 17 games, I think we'd finish better than 4-13. So I just completely disagree with what Nick Shook had to say. It felt like he was bringing up everything from the past and saying that it's going to happen again this season. I just completely disagree with that. There are parts of this schedule that are difficult. There are parts of the schedule that open up for this team to go on a crazy win streak and have a hell of a season. But in order for this team to have a successful year, Jaden Daniels needs a bounce-back season. So what does a bounce-back season look like from Jaden Daniels? And the number one thing I think everybody's thinking is, well, he's got to play 16 or 17 games, right? He's got to prove that throughout the season he can deal with the bumps and bruises and not miss games. He can deal with the hits and the sacks and not miss time and not break a bone and go out there and be our warrior, our leader, and our starting quarterback throughout the entirety of the season without start, stop, start, stop. He has to play throughout the entirety of the season. Everybody knows that. That's the number one thing for a bounce-back season. Number two, it's the offense that we're running. The David Blau offense versus the Cliff Kingsbury offense, and the marriage of what Adam Peters wants based off of what he's seen successfully in San Francisco to what David Blau's learned from Ben Johnson, Kevin O'Connell, and, of course, Cliff Kingsbury. And what does that look like for Jaden Daniels? I think it looks like an offense that's more poised and under control. In 2024, we had the craziest offense ever with multiple games in a row where we did not punt. And then 2025, it was like the exact opposite. Our crazy offense that just ran, and boom, got down the field every time, stalled and went three and out over and over and over again. So I think the offense this year is supposed to be more poised, controlled, have more drives that are consistently 8 and 9 plays than a two-play home run drive, and then the next one's a three and out. More consistency offensively, and that would lead to more time of possession, which I think is the big thing that was on Dan Quinn's mind. And I don't know if this was an Adam Peters thing. I think this was a Dan Quinn thing. I think he was starting to get tilted by the fact that his defense was playing 35 to 40 minutes every single night, every single game, because the offense was either quick up the field or quick off the field. And I think that started to eat at him because you heard him over and over again in press conferences talk about the word complementary football. 2024, we saw that for the most part. Offense was good. Defense did their part. Special teams was solid. 2025 was all over the place. We never had a good complementary game from all three phases ever throughout the entire season. I think Dan's mindset was, hey, if the offense can just maybe have a little bit less explosive plays, but more first downs, more time of possession, our defense can rest, and our defense can get more stops, our defense can then maybe create more turnovers to give the offense short field. So whether it was an Adam Peters decision or a Dan Quinn decision, they blew out Cliff Kingsbury and brought in David Blau to run an offense they think is going to bring the best out of Jaden Daniels. And another way you have to bring the best out of Jaden Daniels is what was missing in 2025 based off of 2024. And I don't think we made a mistake trading Brian Robinson Jr., but I do think we missed his ability to pick up the first down on short yardage situations without Jaden Daniels doing Jaden Daniels things, right? the ability to get a third and one by just sticking it into B-Rob's gut and having him push forward. Maybe that's Fat Man this year, Catron Allen. Maybe that's Bill. Maybe that's Rashad White. But this team needs to be better on short yardage situations without everything being on Jaden's shoulder. And that's also for first down situations. Having the ability to run consistently on first down so it's second and six and not second and nine over and over and over again. And then we need our wide receivers to make plays and not be among the lead leaders in drops and missed opportunities. And part of that's just having our best weapons on the field throughout the season, like Terry McLaurin. But I'm excited about what Chigakonko can do in the 2024 Zach Ertz role of, hey, we are going to throw the ball to you 4 to 6 times every single game. We need you to get yards after the catch. We need to rely on you on third down. We need you to be a red zone threat. It's going to be, I think, difficult for Chig because he has not been a top 10 running back or tight end in his career. But everybody points to, well, he hasn't had consistent targets and a good quarterback. And hopefully that's what Jaden Daniels can do on his route to having a huge bounce-back season. And then you look at the defensive side of the ball. For Jaden to have success, he needs more opportunities. Not just more possessions. He needs more possessions that he starts on the opposition side of the field. He needs more chances to get a field goal without even getting a first down. The defense needs to create some turnovers. And I really like the moves that we've made in free agency and then in the draft with Sonny Styles. You're going to hear me at training camp continuing to talk about how excited I am for Sonny Styles. I've been waiting for a linebacker since London Fletcher. And I know we got a couple good years out of Bobby Wagner, but I wanted us to draft and develop our own next star middle linebacker in the National Football League. And I really believe Sonny Styles can be that guy. But if this defense can create more pressure with the upgrade of edge rusher, Odafe Owe, Clavon Chaisson, return of Dorrance Armstrong, and an improved secondary, Douglas now added, along with a healthier Trey Amos and Mikey Sainer still. If the defense just gets off the field more, creates more turnovers, that's another reason that Jaden Daniels should have a bounce-back season. I know the schedule is not really in our favor, but you never know with an NFL schedule. You really never know. And I kind of like getting tested week one and week two. It's not that our offense is going to be tested against the Eagles and the Cowboys. Like, the Eagles are good defensively, but it's our defense that will be tested right away. Right away we will know if Dan Quinn's job is on the line. Because if the defense is bad, he's gone. He has to have a solid defense. He's the defensive-minded head coach, and he brought in Durante Jones. They need this defense to be borderline top 17, top 18, right? 15, 16, 17 this season. We will find out right away how improved the defense is, and we'll find out if Jaden Daniels is going to need to be Superman for this team to have success this season. But for Jaden Daniels to bounce back this season, he's got that opportunity. He's got to prove that he can stay healthy. I think he realizes now the best ability is availability. He knows that. He certainly knows that. And I love how everybody's saying how he's mastered this offense already. This might have been a change that was needed to then invest all the money we're going to invest in Jaden Daniels after this year, right? Like, we need to see him run a prototypical NFL offense, not Cliff Kingsbury's gimmicks, even though I think his gimmicks were successful, and I will still support Cliff. I'm a Cliff guy. But Jaden needed this. Needed this. So many quarterbacks learn a new offense and either have success or fail. We got to find out what we got in Jaden Daniels and running an offense that they think is best suited to fit him. That is the right move to make. That's the right move to make. You got to find out if he's going to be your franchise quarterback. And all fans are going to say yes. It's up to Adam Peters, Josh Harris, Dan Quinn, and everybody in that building to decide to make the decision. Are we going to give Jaden Daniels millions upon millions upon millions of dollars? He's got to prove it this year, and I think he will. And I think they've done the job in free agency and this entire offseason to make life a little bit easier on him, to give him another Austin Eckler type in Rashad White, to give him another De'Ami Brown in, oh yeah, De'Ami Brown coming back. drafting Antonio Williams. Like, the fan base will continue to talk about maybe Jaden Daniels doesn't have enough weapons, but what Adam Peters is going to point to is his draft picks of Luke McCaffrey, Jalen Lane, of Antonio Williams, of Ben Sennett, of Chigakonko coming in, of paying Terry McLaurin, of paying De'Ami Brown, of paying Treylon Burks and Van Jefferson. He probably believes we have enough talent at wide receiver to go out there and have Jaden have a bounce-back season. So as much as everybody's crying about a certain player I'm not speaking of anymore, and then Stephon Diggs or DeAndre Hopkins or Deebo Samuel, I think in that front office they feel a little bit more confident in the guys that they've hand-selected to come in and be a part of the offense this season. If you want to chime in, phone lines are open, 1-800-636-1067, 1-800-636-1067. You can tweet us your thoughts at AWOD Radio or at 1067 The Fan. If it's a good tweet, we'll read it on air. Don't go anywhere. I'll be right back. Welcome back. What up, what up, what up? It's AWOD. How are you doing? You're listening to AWOD Radio here on DC Sports Radio, 106.7 The Fan. So the Washington Commanders are a little under 3 weeks away from training camp. It will be for the fifth consecutive year hosted at the headquarters in Ashburn, Virginia, with the rookies reporting July 24th, the veterans July 28th. They will open five open practices for fans August 1st, 7th, 8th, 18th, and August 19th, a sixth open to season ticket holders again. But it all begins July 29th. We wanted to do AWOD Radio's training camp guide here on The Fan. If you want to chime in, phone lines are open, 1-800-636-1067. We spent last segment talking about Jaden Daniels, but that's where the training camp guide begins. It's incredible how many people reach out to me or call in or tweet me with updates on how's Jaden looking? Is he bigger? Is he stronger? What have you seen this and that? How's he commanding the offense, the new offense, with David Blau? As Jaden did an interview last week and said it's been a blessing working with David Blau. It does feel like it's a really good match. And here's, I'm going to take it a step further of why this was so smart. Because the idea of Jaden Daniels starting all over from scratch pissed me off. The idea of the NFL's Rookie of the Year going into year three and starting all the way over pissed me off. It's why I was team bring Cliff back. Right? I wanted Cliff to come back for another season. But if you decide to fire Cliff, the answer, the writing was on the wall. Bringing the guy that was working in the building with him and giving him a promotion in David Blau. A guy that was quoted as being in the building at like 3:50 in the morning with Jaden Daniels and Cliff Kingsbury. A guy that was given credit for the Jamison Crowder touchdown from 2 years ago, from some of the trick plays that we ran. Some of the great offensive ideas have come from David Blau. And so when they made the decision to move on from Cliff Kingsbury, I was upset. And I didn't really want David Blau. But it does feel like he's been the perfect answer. And Jaden is not starting all the way up from scratch. He's starting from the top floor where he left off with Cliff Kingsbury. And they're using similar terms, but it's a different offense and one that he's been able to grasp and kind of master right away. And he told Brian Colbert, it's been fun. I talk to him all the time. I told him it's just been cool to see him go from an assistant quarterbacks coach to now an offensive coordinator. So the training camp guide starts with Jaden Daniels, with everybody trying to figure out how good he's going to be in this David Blau offense. And I think he has a chance to be terrific if he can fully understand how to go from being under center to a strong, strong play action pass where you can fool the defense into thinking you actually handed it off. And it sounds like it's so simple, but the best quarterbacks, Aaron Rodgers, Tom Brady, Patrick Mahomes, have mastered it so well, where they do get a split second extra time to make a throw downfield because of how good their play fake is. And Jaden Daniels just was so much shotgun. So it'd be nice to see him under center a little bit. I do think that Blau needs to throw away all of the Cliff Kingsbury option runs that he had for Jaden Daniels. Jaden Daniels will run on passing downs. He does not need to run on running downs. Maybe once to completely fake out the defense. I hate when they do it around the goal line, when it's so tough to get every yard, and you know someone's just going to light them up. You know someone's going to put their helmet into them and crush them. So those are differences I want to see from the offense this year with Jaden Daniels. After that, I think the training camp guide goes from Jaden to the offensive line, to Josh Connerly on one side, Laremy Tunsil on the other, to what the new center looks like with Allegretti, the more confidence that Sam Cosmi will have of full year removed from the injury, whether it's Chris Paul or Brandon Coleman on the offensive line. The success of the offense, it's Jaden first, it's the offensive line second, and maybe even offensive line first, because they have to keep him upright. They have to keep him healthy this season. And I kind of am getting frustrated by the fact that it feels like over the last few seasons, all the talk's been on paper, we have an above-average offensive line, and I haven't seen that. Well, they made a change and brought in a new offensive line coach. So maybe it's coaching, right? Maybe it's coaching and consistency that needs to be better for this offensive line, because there were times they were good, and then there were big third downs where they just miscommunicated and somebody went right through the middle and sacked us over and over again last year. Training camp guide then I think turns to the defensive side of the ball, and there will be a lot of talk about the new edge rushers and the new middle linebackers. I think everybody's going to focus in on corner and secondary. I've said this for a while, that this fan base has a microscope on the cornerback position, and part of that's probably because one of our greatest players of all time was a cornerback in Darryl Green, and one of our worst draft picks of all time was a cornerback in Emmanuel Forbes. And so, like, since for the longest I can remember, cornerback's been such a big, important position that has a microscope under it for Washington. From Fred Smoot and, you know, Sashawn Springs to Benjamin St. Juice. It's like everybody's focused in on the corners. And you see why, because the league has become more and more a passing league, which means more and more you get exposed if you have a terrible, awful secondary. And I'm just still not over that game against Dallas last year where our secondary ran into each other and let CeeDee Lamb walk into the end zone. It was like just one of the most embarrassing moments of my Commanders career. So embarrassing to see Dallas make fun of us like that. So I do think all eyes will be on Trey Amos, Mikey Samerstill, Douglas, the entire secondary as well with Nick Cross, Quan Martin, Will Harris. Are we much, much better? I don't think we're much, much better. I think you're hoping that the guys that we already have develop. Trey Amos needs to kind of turn into a CB1. Did he do that last year for maybe three games? Mikey Samerstill, too many highs and too many lows. Need him to be more consistent this upcoming season. They brought in a new veteran this week to try to shore up that room. I'm very excited about Nick Cross. He's one of the most excited players for the free agents that were brought in, because everybody that you talk to, all the ratings that you read, say he was one of the best safeties at stopping the run. And we were awful at stopping the run and have been for a while. So I think that could be one of the most impactful players that we brought in this offseason. And then after that, I think it goes back to the offense and back to wide receiver two. Back to wide receiver two. And my opinion on wide receiver two is Treylon Burks will need to be perfect in OTAs and minicamp. And all reports, he kind of was. Then he'll need to be perfect in training camp and perfect in preseason just to make this roster. It's an opportunity for him. It's a great opportunity for a guy that was a first-round pick, and I'm sure that's why he took it. But he's going to need to be perfect. I think it's much more likely that it's Luke McCaffrey with Antonio Williams and then De'Ami Brown at the four. Jalen Lane is like the fifth receiver. And then it's heavy involvement with the tight ends, Chigakonko, and I'm not giving up on Ben Sinnott, and I'm really hoping that this change from Cliff Kingsbury, who maybe didn't love Ben Sinnott's skill sets in his offense, will be much better fit for what David Blau wants to do, because I think there's something in there in Ben Sinnott, and I believe that Adam Peters believes that also. So that's what I think the offense is going to look like, and there's going to be all eyes on this wide receiver two position. It's going to be a big training camp talking point, but hopefully the wide receiver room as a whole is better than what we had at this point last year at training camp, when outside of Debo, it was Chris Moore and K.J. Osborne. Like, we needed so much more talent in the wide receiver room. I think we've got that. You know, Van Jefferson's there just kind of for competition. Nick Nash, Jacoby Jones for competition. The guys that I think can be impactful, De'Ami Brown, Antonio Williams, Luke McCaffrey, Terry McLaurin, maybe Treylon Burks. It just feels like it's going to be a tough uphill battle for him to make this team. You're listening to AWOD Radio here on DC Sports Radio 106.7 The Fan. If you want to chime in, phone lines are open, 1-800-636-1067. 1-800-636-1067. Don't go anywhere. AWOD Radio continues next. Welcome back. I'm Adam Epstein. You're listening to AWOD here on a Saturday morning in the nation's capital. Talking about the Washington Commanders, less than 3 weeks away from training camp in Ashburn. Your first chance to see the fans could be in attendance August 1st. Jaden Daniels running the David Blau offense. And he is everything for this team. He is the franchise quarterback. He is the only way that we reach the mountaintop. But I will continue to say that I think Adam Peters has done a great job. And even if Marcus Mariota, knock on wood, was forced to play 17 games, I think we would be much better than we were last year at 5-12. I think we'd be much better. Now, if Jaden Daniels plays 17 games, I think we're going to go to the playoffs and win a playoff game. I really do. But he means so much to this team. It's so important that he's able to stay healthy, to grasp this new offense, and have success with David Blau as the play caller. It's AWOD here on DC Sports Radio 106.7 The Fan. What are your questions that you have for training camp, or what are you looking forward to seeing for the first time this year at Commanders training camp opening up July 29th? AWOD on The Fan, 1-800-636-1067. You could also tweet us your thoughts at AWOD Radio. If it's a good tweet, we'll read it on air. Let's go to Joe in Virginia. What's up, Joe?
Hey, AWOD, morning. Thanks for taking my call.
Yeah, dude, how are you?
Great, and by the way, happy free Slurpee Day from 7-Eleven. Since my birthday, I went to three separate 7-Eleven locations to get three free Slurpees. So, anyway, I'm all
what, up. What size did they let you get today? Was it just the small one?
You got to get the small for the free Slurpee. So, but say, hey, look, it counts. I'll take it.
Yeah, I love that. I was talking to Wes about that earlier today. It reminds me of when I was a kid. I love free Slurpee Day.
Absolutely. I mean, one day here with my birthday today, why not? Why not get a free Slurpee? So, all right, so I would say, and you just talked about it the last time about Luke McCaffrey. I believe that, look, you got De'Ami Brown back, which is a big addition. The defense has gotten younger, looks great. I wonder about Luke McCaffrey because when he was doing well at kickoff return last year, he was averaging, what, going all the way to the 40 or 50-yard line. And even on a couple of the catches he made, like the touchdown he had against the Bears when he was, like, when he faked his defender and he was wide open, the 50-yard reception he had against the Chargers, the touchdown he had against Atlanta. I mean, he had was having great moments until he got injured in the Seahawks game when he hurt his neck. So if Luke McCaffrey stays healthy, has another great year, a bigger year than last year, you know what? David Blau's system, maybe it's good for Luke McCaffrey too. What do you think? Take care.
Yeah, good call, Joe. I appreciate you chiming in. And I am Team Luke McCaffrey. It does feel like that this fan base is split on him. There's people that do believe that he only maybe got drafted because his last name's McCaffrey and he's given all these opportunities because his last name's McCaffrey. I think he's shown something. I think this coaching staff loves him. I think they love his work ethic. I think they love what he brought to special teams. I think they would love for him to stay healthy. And if he did stay healthy last year, you're right, he flashed. He had a good game against Vegas, Atlanta, and a touchdown against the Chicago Bears as well, including his long bomb 50-yard catch against the Chargers. Like, that was a five-game stretch where he was starting to break out a little bit. And I even talked to Fred Smoot about this Radio Row at the Super Bowl, that Luke McCaffrey was sort of starting to have what could have been a Pro Bowl season. Pro Bowl season if he stayed healthy. And so I do think that a lot of his fan base wants to have a big name. They want, you know, DeAndre Hopkins or Tyreek Hill or Brandon Ayuk or Stephon Diggs because we've seen that guy have success in the National Football League. I think there's a chance the best number two weapon could be the guy in Luke McCaffrey that's already on this roster that's going to be given an opportunity to win wide receiver two. So I'm a big Luke McCaffrey fan. I also think it's taken him some time to develop from a quarterback at Rice to a wide receiver in the National Football League. And I keep saying this. If Adam Peters drafted you or brought you in free agency, you're on his resume. He cares deeply. He's invested in you. And Luke McCaffrey's one of those guys. So I think he could have a really good season. What would a good season look like for Luke McCaffrey? Probably 600 yards. 500 or 600 yards would be a really solid season for Luke McCaffrey. But it could be like wide receiver by committee. I do think that Diami Brown's going to be more impactful than people are giving him credit. I think that Antonio Williams will have a better rookie season in terms of catching the ball than Jalen Lane did for Washington last year. I think Jalen Lane will be able to improve. He will still be a good special teams player, but can we get him involved in maybe some screen passes or some opportunities where he can get in open field because he can make guys miss in open field? I'm very excited about the offensive side of the ball. My only real worry is kind of running back one. Because you look around, especially our division, PFF ranked the top 32 running backs in the National Football League. Bill ranked 30th. Don't hate me, hate the game, all right? I'm just reporting on what I read from Pro Football Focus. And it did piss me off to see them rank Cam Scataboo at 24. How the hell is he ahead of Bill from what you saw last season? That's ludicrous. Are you kidding me? But I don't know that we have a top 25 running back at all in Bill. Or Rashad White, or Catron Allen. The hope is that Jaden Daniels takes pressure off the running backs because one guy out of the 11 on defense should have to keep an eye on Jaden every play. And then you talk about how if the offensive line is actually improved, there will be more holes for Bill to run in. And look, even with like zero holes last year, Bill still had 800 yards and 8 touchdowns. And probably deserves to get an opportunity to be running back one going into this season based off of what he did last year. And oh yeah, Adam Peters hand-selected him. I don't care if it was the 7th round. They did a ton of research to even select him because nobody even saw him play the year before at Arizona. So they believe in Bill. I'm a little worried about running back. I'm more excited really about Rashad White. You know, we talk about the fan base wants to see a proven commodity. I think he is a proven scat back in the National Football League based off of what he's done in his career. And in Tampa Bay, they kind of moved past him and to Bucky Irvin because he's more of an ever-down running back, and that's fine. But this is a guy that has reached 990 yards just 2 years ago in 2023, consistently as a receiving threat, has been almost 300 yards every single season and quite a few touchdowns. And he wanted to be here. He wanted to be here to play with his Arizona State teammate in Jaden Daniels. I love the fact that so many people wanted to be here, wanted to be in Washington. We had the Adam Schefter report 2 years ago in the middle of the run while the Commanders got to like 7-2. He said, free agents are reaching out to their agents saying they want to play with Jaden Daniels. This offseason, I feel like we kind of saw that a little bit more than the year before. A little bit more. Rashad White, that's obviously because he was a teammate of him. But like Diami Brown wanting to come back, I love that. Chika Conko wanting to be here, I love that. The defensive players that chose to be in Washington because they had an opportunity to start, I love that. You're listening to AWOD Radio here on DC Sports Radio 106.7 The Fan. We are simulcast on the Team 980 in Richmond, 910 AM, 105.1 FM, and always available on the go with the free Odyssey app. Anywhere you get your apps at, just search AUDACY. It gives you the ability to pause the show, run some errands, rewind, and then pick up right where you left off. It's radio on the go with the Odyssey app. Don't go anywhere. Don't touch that dial. We'll close out the show with AWOD Radio continuing next. Welcome back. Hello, everybody. I'm Adam Epstein. You're listening to AWOD Radio here on DC Sports Radio 106.7 The Fan. Always available on the go with the Odyssey app. You can rewind back to 9 a.m. We opened up the show by talking about the summer of soccer in the United States, Mexico, and Canada. And that continues with two great games today, even though Canada, Mexico, and the United States have been eliminated. I told everyone hundreds of reasons why I believe this was a success for Team USA. It's disappointing. It was embarrassing at times the way we lost to Belgium. But the entirety of this World Cup has been a success because I have so many more fans, friends, wanting to talk soccer, wanting to watch soccer, asking me to go watch the Erling Haaland game with them today in Norway, England. People that never wanted to watch soccer or talk soccer, interested now, even with Team USA being eliminated. It was a failure for Mexico. It was a failure for Mexico. They've hosted a World Cup before and had way more success when they were the host nation than what happened this year. For Team USA, baby steps. Anyone that's calling it a failure, you didn't watch in 2018. I did. You know what happened in Russia? We weren't there in Russia. We didn't make the World Cup in 2018. That was a failure. This year, maybe a missed opportunity, but it was a small success. Baby steps. We looked much better in the group stage than we ever have. Then we talked about the Washington Wizards before getting into the Commanders training camp. Wanted to close the show by getting back into my excitement for the Washington Wizards. And listen to the amount of first-round talent that is now on this roster. Anthony Davis, the first overall pick in 2012. DeAndre Ayton, the first overall pick in 2018. Trae Young, the fifth overall pick in 2018. Bilal Coulibaly, the seventh overall pick in 2023. Alex Sarr, the second overall pick in 2024. Trey Johnson, the sixth overall pick in 2025. AJ Dabonsa, the number one overall pick. That doesn't include also us hitting on late first round picks and second round picks like Keyshawn George, Will Riley, and Bub Carrington. And oh yeah, it needs to be said, the front office brought in two new assistants to help with player development. One, who is one of the greatest DC sports athletes of all time, and former Georgetown legend and former Georgetown coach, Patrick Ewing. I love, 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 love that Patrick Ewing is back. Not just to mentor Alex Sarr, who can learn so much from Patrick Ewing, but to help out A.J. Dabonsa, to help out the young kid A.J., understanding everything that it takes to be a pro, to be a leader, to be a champion, to get everyone in the city behind you. Patrick Ewing knows all about that. I love that he's back. I think he's gotten a bad rap on how he is as a coach. I think he knows how to coach big men. I think that's very evident. He didn't have the best job as a head coach in Georgetown. Nobody else had success. The head coach in Georgetown feels like in 25 years. He is going to make an impact as an assistant in Washington, and it's not just with Alex Sarr. I think it's going to help with everybody because he's just a great basketball mind, he's a great leader, and he's a great ambassador for the sport. I'm so happy that Patrick Ewing is back. And you look at the guys that I mentioned, you know who also could use some help from Patrick Ewing? DeAndre Ayton. If there's anybody that can get DeAndre Ayton to man the heck up, it's Patrick Ewing. Like, grow a pair, DeAndre Ayton. You're 7 foot, and you don't dunk on people. I watched him with the Lakers this past year, miss two layups, get his own rebound, and then miss the putback. It's like, what are you doing? You're taller than everybody. Ayton needs to just have a shot of confidence, and I think that this coaching staff might be able to give him that, especially because there's going to be less minutes for him. He's going to have to earn every opportunity. But just this group that Washington's put together has me super excited. It is such a great mix of youth and guys that are excited, not just excited to be on the roster, but they will fight tooth and nail for every second. And that's not any of the guys we're mentioning. That's more like the Jameer Watkins of the world. Cooper, Will Riley, Trey Johnson, those guys are going to fight and fight and fight for minutes behind a starting lineup that might include Trey Young or Keyshawn George with A.J. Dabonsa, Anthony Davis, Alex Sarr. So the environment that they've created is going to be great for player development. I truly believe that. And we only need A.J. to pop and then one other guy to really be a big, impactful player, plus the veterans that we've had and brought in here. And just bringing in Chris Middleton, when that move happened and I saw $17 million over 3 years, I will take that every day. You got to fill out a roster. Somebody's got to make some money. We traded a bag of chips for Anthony Davis and then brought back the bag of chips. I love it. Hey, this front office deserves so much credit, and they're not going to get it until the wins are there. Believe me, I think the wins will be there this year, but I'm giving them the credit now because I see it. And they've been promoting this vision that they've had, but the light's been at the end of the tunnel for more than a year now. Anybody that sat through the 17-game season with 65 losses, if you actually watched, you saw the writing on the wall with Will Riley and Keyshawn George being great pieces for this team and the opportunity that Bub Carrington and Trey Johnson will have next season. But as I told everyone earlier, I'll say it again. This franchise changed when John Wall won the ping pong balls. The Mother's Day miracle. When John Wall won the ping pong balls, the number one overall pick, that changed everything, and we all got to see him in action earlier this week against the number two overall pick. It didn't even look like a top five pick in my mind. AJ was by far the best player on the court with the most exciting highlights over and over again, and I cannot wait to see him in the regular season. He was so good. He was so good. He's already got haters. There's nobody in D.C. that hates him. He was so good that you got Utah fans now calling him an SGA. You got people around the league saying he's a free throw merchant. That's what happens. That's what happens when you're good. You get haters coming at you out of left field. I love that. I love that. That means that he has done something already in one game. I saw enough in that first quarter. 11 points, 11 minutes. I saw enough. I was done. But I think we'll get a chance to see him tomorrow night. At least one more time probably in Summer League before they wrap them up and get ready for the regular season. But the rest of the Summer League, it's up to Trey Johnson and Will Riley to make the most of their opportunities. And I think they will. I was really impressed with Trey Johnson's speed and the step back three. It looks like he's gotten more and more comfortable and confident in getting that shot off. Like, that's the impressive thing about Trey Johnson's step back. The defender can know it's coming. And you still can't stop it. And he's got to shoot a better percentage on it probably. But it's like an undefendable shot right now. It's so cool. It's so great. And Will Riley, I think, is just a bucket getter. He has to, I think, get bigger and stronger this offseason. But we've got a legit NBA roster. That's the first time I've been able to say that in a while in the nation's capital. And once again, it's a very bright future for all four D.C. sports teams. The Washington Nationals are trying to close out the first half of their season above 500. Games today, tomorrow, Nats Park against the Yankees. Nats snapped a losing streak, got the win against the Astros, won that series, trying to come back here after losing game one of the Yankees 5-3 yesterday. 4:05 will be your first pitch today with Mikolas on the mound for the Washington Nationals, who have two all-stars in James Wood, who's now hit 26 bombs at just 23 years old. The future DC sports. It's all about the J's, right? AJ, Jaden, James, Ovechkin. I don't know, but it's just so cool. So much fun to be a DC sports fan right now. It's unbelievable. I was watching the Wizards Summer League game. I was in Wizards heaven. I was getting goosebumps every time he made a play. The hype from ESPN was so cool. And I think people were just blown away by the performance. And I know Boozer's been great, and Caleb Wilson put on a show yesterday. I don't think they have the potential that AJ has to take over this league and take over the city, Washington, D.C. Appreciate everybody listening to the show. Thanks to Wes running the ones and twos. Keep listening to 106.7 The Fan for local coverage of the next 3 hours. Is it my guy Denton Day coming up next, Wes? Believe it is. D-Day, Denton Day coming up next right here on DC Sports Radio 106.7 The Fan. I'll be back next Saturday right here, 9 to noon, on AWOD Radio. Don't go anywhere. Don't touch that dial. It's DC Sports Radio 106.7 The Fan.